Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from over the weekend. There's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says, like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning. Every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment: what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate? For example, the underlying message in "you are so unfit, you're probably going to have a heart attack" is "you're not worth all the effort it would require for you to be fit and healthy." Then on Saturday, the self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? RL, what you see. And then on Sunday, the whole suffering process is set up to keep the karma in place. I have to meet certain standards that fix or change me, that makes me better, the way I should be in order to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I've assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. The whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional. It assumes that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from our authentic nature and turned into an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Your assignment: record what is true about you, the internalization of which would enable you not to fall for and be tortured by the self-hate conversation. Listen to and add to this recording as you get clearer about what is true about you. All right,
that's
here's our first. Fortunately, we've been doing the same exercise 7 sessions straight, Sherry. Should be getting clearer.
It's still brand new each time.
I know. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Anna calling from the monastery.
Hello.
How was the retreat?
Marvelous. Mm. Wonderful. Mm. Excellent. I wish everyone could have been there.
Yeah. I loved how through the week, as people were calling in, they were kind of participating in the retreat, right?
Yes.
So saying, well, this is kind of what we're looking at this morning. And, you
know, yes.
That was
good. Like having everybody with us.
Right. Well, I loved just the arc of these 3 exercises. The aspect of fitness that kind of came up for me to work on is around upper body strength, that there's a way in which I'm fit for my life. I love carrying buckets of water. And there's kind of an impulse to kind of focus specifically on upper body strength. It's something that I haven't worked on in a sustained way before, in a kind of sustained, focused way. And the times that I have, there was an experience of all-round strength that I really enjoyed. And I had a sense, this came up for me as the aspect of fitness to look at, because I have a sense that it was being held in a you're not enough as you are, there's something wrong, and a sense that I was being stopped by voices in the head from exploring this. So it was the aspect that came up.
And then, you're aware of not having the upper body strength that you would enjoy having.
Yeah, that's possible,
and
it seems like.
And an attraction to gaining that, but then also it comes in kind of through a back door of, but if you pursue that, it's because you're not okay as you are?
Yeah, and you kind of almost, you can't pursue it because you're weak, you're not enough as you are. It's
I see. Okay.
And so when the assignment was read out about what's the implied message in the self-hating voices, kind of all of that coalesced into like this really clear statement of what ego is, which is my life, the voices in the head, is more important than your life, the human incarnation. And it was like, oh, thanks for the very clear statement of what you are.
Right.
Yeah.
And then as I was looking at enough and what is enough, what I saw with that was that when I turn attention to conscious, compassionate awareness, the unconditional, all that is, you know, for example, when I do an I love you tree, do you love me, the place that I go to with that, there's a fullness about it. There's enoughness about it that doesn't have any opposite. So it just is fullness.
Uh-huh. Right?
And I realized it was like kind of experientially feeling the difference between that what is all that is all, right? Is enough because mm-hmm. it's all. Mm-hmm. The difference mm-hmm. between that and attention going to a voice in the head saying that if you do this upper body strength training, then you'll be stronger, you'll be more than, you'll be better, which means mm-hmm. that now you are less than, you are weak, mm-hmm. you are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which is and so it's like I just saw how that is a weakening process, not a strengthening process. And it reinforces yes. that illusion of separation that I could be better, more, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not sure that this is mm-hmm. I'm exactly going where you're going, but
yeah.
it seems like a big part of that awareness is that all contains all of that. All
yes.
contains that duality, and so
yes.
you can see that duality for what it is.
Yes.
And in the all, you are already strong.
Exactly.
Right? And so not that you won't be starting your push-up program or whatever
exactly.
it is that you want to do for your upper body, but it's all contained
yes.
in the all. You don't have to go to a dualistic conclusion that has you probably feeling more than anything that but I'm not
exactly
I should be and I but I'm not
yes
uh-huh
yes that is exactly where I was going and exactly how I saw it. Thank you.
It's a parallel to your favorite teacup is already broken. Right.
Yes, because I was walking along the porch this morning and what dropped in is, ha, is this your favorite teacup is already broken? That's so uh-huh. such a lovely a whole mind experience, because it's like, yes, I'll still be not separate from the all and already strong, just perhaps with stronger arms.
yes, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which in that way that is very difficult to get to with a dualistic mind, our habit of dualistic mind, you already have those strong arms.
Mm.
They already exist. You're just living into them.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, very fun. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You too.
See you
bye-bye.
Soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. I was tracking most of that, Cherry. I was in and out of the call. But the thing that occurred to me when you and Anna were talking is that confusion that exists that if we do something that allows us to be, say, stronger or more fit or better skilled at something, that isn't a contradiction to being enough. And
that's
I think
correct.
That's where
yes.
the self-hate is, it takes hold, which is,
yes.
okay, well, if you're all of life, then you don't need to do anything and
right.
you won't.
Uh-huh.
Because not being enough is what drives you, is a motivating factor. But not
uh-huh.
being enough is also what shuts you down from doing anything, because if you're not enough, you can't do it. And so we get into
yeah.
that dualistic place. And then when we get out of the duality, there's the sense of, well, if I'm all of it,
then how does it follow that I can do something? Well, it follows that I could do something so that as long as I don't indulge in self-hate about it. If it's not about me and all I'm doing is strengthening my tricep muscles, it's not contradictory to the fact that you're already all enough. You come enoughness and the sufficiency, which is what actually allows you to lift your triceps. I mean, work your triceps.
Yes. It's that one of those paradoxes that Zen is so famous for, and it's something that we can get intuitively, but if we try to work it out through conditioned mind, it's not going to happen.
And I think this is a piece of it, that the enough is not self-sufficiency. It's not ego sufficiency. It's the absence of ego that allows us to be the sufficiency from which all is possible.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In which all is.
In which all is, and all supports us, right? And that support is not that we're powerless or vulnerable. It is the sufficiency from which all is possible. Yeah.
It's, again, it's like, as with the teacup, it's, I love you exactly as you are, and I will help you be any way you want to be.
That's exactly it. Yep.
Yeah, because you can be any way you choose to be. You just need to choose it.
Yes.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Sherry. It's Jessica from Oregon.
Hello, Jessica.
Well, I was just feeling kind of speechless about the conversation you guys just had, because it's so much of what I've been seeing with that there is not enough thing. And you guys just kind of provided the answer, but I'll say what I've been seeing anyway.
Don't you love that?
I do.
Isn't that good? I mean, if we ever wonder, but am I actually separate or am I really? Yeah. And then we go, no.
Yeah.
It's all one.
It's such a beautiful reminder when those things happen. Well, what I've been seeing with that, and it's gotten clearer and clearer as we've gone through each of the sessions, and seeing it just come up the same way over and over and over, is that the message is, I'm not enough to, like, quite simply, I'm not enough to exist, to be alive, which kind of fits in, you know, it helps explain so many of those feelings that I've had throughout my life of, you know, just sort of that impulse to not be alive, and some of the, like, more direct, like, suicidal sort of thoughts, and, like, I don't want to be here, I shouldn't be here, and that whole give up thing that that we were talking about the last time we were together. So it's just so interesting to see that so clearly, that that's it. Like, you just shouldn't be here. Like, you're just not fit to be a human, to be alive, to run your life in any way. And it's Anna. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. You finish. You finish that thought.
Anna said something that just rings so true for me. Gosh, I kind of lost it. What was it? Oh, that message that, and you should hand your life over to me, to ego, because I can run this for you, and you really need that. Like, you cannot do this. So, you know, just go ahead and hand this all over, and I'll take care of it, and you sit back and, you know,
try not to exist.
I,
ego, am more important. My ego life is far more important than your life.
Exactly. And I'm kind of seeing that show up in lots of different ways, you know, as there's some other things going on in my life that are kind of big things that I'm struggling with or that are changing, and looking at the suffering behind those, it's like, it really is it really is like seeing that ego has been in charge of these things because it has told me that I can't, like I can't make those choices. So I need to make those choices for you. But then I'm seeing clearly like all the suffering that sort of come from that.
Right. That in fact, ego's life does not support you.
No.
It is not good for you. Yeah.
And it doesn't support really, others.
Right. And it is an either or. It really does mm-hmm. not want you to exist. And then
yes.
Once that happens, the carnage, let the carnage flow, right? Because we see what happens when ego completely takes over a person's life. It's awful. It's horrible for the person and for everybody else. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say there's a second part to that, so maybe I should let you go first.
Well, no, I want to hear what the second part is.
Okay, so the second part to that is watching the human get talked into, like, trying to figure it out. So, like, getting caught up in this conversation. And that's another thing I've started seeing clearly as the sessions go on is the duality, the self-hate, the all those mm-hmm. pieces and the conversation. Mm-hmm. And as I was getting ready to get on the call this morning, I suddenly had that like flash of intuition, like, oh yeah, like this is the distraction. You know, this is the distraction that I've taken over your life. Like, let's talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and not, like, uh-huh. not have you be awake and get to have your life back, you know, get to start yes. making choices, like, from your heart and that yes. are good for you.
Get to live, right?
Right.
So if life is a big if participation event, which it is, what ego wants a person to do is sit on the sidelines and talk about problems.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't the first time I've seen this, but it just gets clearer and clearer every time. And the like that willingness to, you know, those moments of like, okay, like I see this, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. Like I'm gonna do something, anything. I'm just going to make a choice and enjoy it, whatever it is, you know, and it's okay. Yeah. Everything's okay.
And what happens, you know,
an
image of a big soccer field, right? And you've never been allowed to play soccer before. So when you kick that ball, who knows where it's going to go?
Right.
You're going to find out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kick it again and find out something else and just keep on kicking it because it's fun to kick that ball.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's exciting and it's okay, whatever happens when I kick the ball.
Yep. Because you're going to see something. That, you're going to learn something. And you're participating.
Yeah,
you're a player.
Yeah,
yep.
Right. So it's not, it's just about the participation.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's such a good image because when we're in that conversation with ego, we don't even get to be a spectator, right? Mm. You don't even get to watch other people play, right? Which could be instructive or entertaining, right? It's just lost in that conversation with ego about what's wrong and what's wrong with you and the problems and how it hasn't worked and it isn't going to work. But what should you do? And you've got to figure it out and you've got to know, but you can't and you don't. And oh my God.
Mm.
Yeah. It's awful.
Mm.
It's awful.
It is. It is.
And you, Jessica, happen to be the perfect person to live your life. Right?
Yeah.
So rather than you're unqualified, you're the only one who is qualified.
Mm. Yeah. Because it's mine.
That's it.
I'm it.
Yep.
It's my life.
That's right.
Wow,
that's
how
right.
fun. I love that.
Yeah. All right. Well, go happy.
All right.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah, go yeah. happy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jessica. And now, Sherry, that whole arc, right, where
you exist. I mean, that's a fact. And
yes.
That's how self-hate cuts us off. Yes, you exist, but your existence is not, doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's yeah. how the negation happens. How can you negate something that exists is by discounting the existence. You don't count.
Yeah.
Not that you,
yeah.
your existence is not valid. And once we
right.
buy into that place, there's a way in which we're cut off from the life force that informs us because we're
mm-hmm.
focused on, well, you know, I need to be snuffed out of existence. And that separation is so deep that we're not connected to what informs us all the time, which is why we move into that place of observation rather than participation. And once we participate, there's a way in which we are back in touch with the life force that informs
yes.
us, which is
yes.
actually our connection back to all that is, that
yes.
our existence does count because we have a visceral sense of being part of it rather than being outside of it.
Yes, and it's fun.
It's fun.
And it's exciting. And so rather
mm-hmm.
than that, sitting on the sidelines, talking about stuff that doesn't exist, to
mm-hmm.
just be participating and having fun playing. Being a
mm-hmm.
part of things. Yeah, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
take very long. Once we make that shift that you're describing, we make that shift back to being fully alive, it doesn't take very long for us to know that that's where we want to live. That's
mm-hmm.
the life experience that I want.
Mm-hmm. And there's a way in which, I mean, I can relate to exactly what Jessica said because I suspect that we are both fives on the Enneagram. And it's a very peculiar a manifestation of that disconnect, you know, that sense of not being valid in existence that causes an accumulation of knowledge to figure it out rather than just move into the participation that allows us to reestablish that connection to that life force.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, and we were talking about the Enneagram recently, right? So
yes.
And I hope people will not go off in that direction right now because this is plenty for us to be doing. But that each one of us has a particular, of course, we have a particular part to play, obviously. But there's also a particular way in which that is taken away from us.
Yeah, exactly.
A conversation
yeah.
that we go into, that we're pulled
mm-hmm.
into, that takes that away from us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh. Hi, this is Tracy.
Hello, Tracy.
I'm
Long
so
time
excited.
No hear your voice.
I know. It's not from not trying. It's amazing. I'm projecting the participation in this retreat has just been amazing. It's hard to get on.
Yes.
But,
isn't that good? Isn't that good? There are
so many of us.
Good. It's really hard to get a word in. Yeah.
I know. I love that. Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So fitness for me is this run has been so much about touching into that place of freedom. And just it's been so rich going from play to relationship to food and I feel like I've been on like a bit of a family karma retreat right along with you all. And then I saw so much that difference between what I've set up for my life, like fleshing out what's control and what's actually kind. Because I do have a schedule of, you know, when I eat and I make a meal plan and I want to be in bed at a certain time. And then I go on my family vacation and it's like, well, maybe it's just all full of control and maybe it's all ego and let's just go with whatever's going on. And I really got to see where the places where when I don't care for myself, I'm not present. Like things start
mm-hmm.
falling away. I start drinking coffee because I didn't get enough sleep and my digestion's off. And then I have to like do all these things to remove myself from being available to participating in my family because my just body's off. And so I got to see that, and then this next layer of with fitness, you know, I'm trying to touch into that place. I mean, I love to move. It's like my favorite thing, And as a kid, you know, I'd get up and ride my bike to swim practice, and I'd have nothing with me. I think I had a towel around my neck, like no brush, no money, no nothing. And I just see how much control I still have to work through around needing things. And, you know, even in the morning of I need my tea and I need to record and listen and I need to do all these things before getting in my body. And so I've been playing with just get in your body first, you know. Yes, I do want to record and listen. Yes, I do want tea. But, you know, trying to play with that around with control
Tracy,
in that way.
Yeah, if I may. Because to me, those are not the same thing.
Okay.
Because the control can be exerted about anything. That process can then shift over to it controlling how you get into your body or whether or not you are in your body or like that.
Oh.
Right? So the process can get us to move from content to content to content to content. So, you know, it's what time you go to bed and it's what time, you know, it's your eating schedule and it's what you eat and it's how much sleep you have and then and to me, what we're closing in on is presence. Because if you're with you, you wake up in the morning and you're not at home where you have your own schedule. You're with your family on vacation. And it's different, right? I mean, we just had that experience, many of us probably on the call, of being on retreat for a week. And there's nothing that's the same about it, right? You're not in your bed, you're not, you know, the temperature is different, the place is different, what you eat is different, what you drink is different, everything is different. How you exercise is different. But the thing that we can have always with us is presence.
Yes.
Yeah? So we're not being pulled off either into I'm not taking care of myself or I have to whatever because what I'm used to isn't available to me. It's being present with what's here now, and in that presence, then making choices that take care of the human being.
Okay.
You with me?
You know, it's interesting. I am with you, and yes, like for food, my behavior change was 10 breaths before I ate and then sitting for 3 minutes after just to, you know, practice the presence part. And so I'm seeing the shift in my focus with fitness needs to be more in, and there's just, I don't know what the bridge is. I know that feeling of freedom and I just see how much, I want to get away. I just see in all these content issues the push and pull, you know.
Yeah. And so
the push and pull of energy.
Let me give you an example, Tracy, of what I was just looking at with that. So you're with your family, so you don't get the same have the same bedtime, and maybe you know the bed is funky or the pillows are the whatever it is, the air quality, whatever.
And your roommate
is going
snores.
On. Yeah, and your roommate snores, and so you forgot your earplugs. So you don't get as much sleep. And the voice says, well, have coffee. Okay? And so you have coffee, and you see what that's like. And then you don't sleep again the next night, and the voice says, well, have coffee, because that worked yesterday. And, of course, it's headed toward beating you up because you're going to drink coffee throughout the vacation, and then it's going to beat you up for whatever. It's going to have something to say about it. So the next day, we'll have some coffee. No, I think I'll see what it's like just to not have as much sleep as I'm used to having. And in that way, all of your choices are in coordination with presence with the human being. So everything becomes an awareness practice rather about an awareness of what is, not a comparison with how it should be and how I'm meeting those standards.
Okay.
So the fear that people get into is, if I start doing that, I'm just going to slide into conditioned behaviors. And so I'll probably stop fitness altogether. Well, if that's possible, then rather than choosing control, it would be interesting to find that out and then begin to make choices from a place other than controlling the human being to make her do what she should do. Getting to a place of, I want to be with her, whatever the circumstance is, I want to see what happens, and I want to help her make good choices. Not, okay. I'm okay if I this, and this. Because there's no freedom in that.
I see.
Okay.
I think I'm with you. I'm going to have to live. Can I just ask one? I know we're at that time, but I see that with, like, when I'm working and I'm getting all contracted and I'm like, oh, just get back in the body. You'll be more open and more available. And that to me seems like that drops in the moment, and it's not coming from the conditional, I have to get in my body, because, of course, sometimes I can't do that. Am I on the right track, or is that even a place I need to look?
Well, that's a place to look, because if the standard becomes, you're all right if you're having a particular experience called being in your body, then
it's
got you set up again.
I'm with you.
Okay.
More ego detox. Here we go.
All right. Thank you, Tracy.
So much. Thank
Take
you.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tracy. Oh, my God, Jerry. That was so, I am so eager to parse that conversation, but we're at time, so here we go.
Okay.
Here's our assignment for the day. We are conditioned to be a human sacrifice or sacrifice to maintain karma. Example, in choosing not to be with the body, I don't get to have the joy of being embodied. That's exactly what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Assignment.
Mm-hmm.
What if you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? RL, what you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thrilling. See you tomorrow.
All right. Let's talk later.
Enjoy.
Go happy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go happy. Bye-bye.